This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are talking about our adventures trying to pick up Big Hugs, drinking some Jack Daniels, and then we dive into the bit of news about Finch's Brewery closing? All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad, I'm Nick White.
And we are back again here to talk about drinking in Chicago. Feels good, right?
Yeah, man. And then we got some new glassware, man. Look at this, man.
Right, yeah. We got some, we're in the Loose Keys studio here, my animation studio, and we got these nice Loose Keys glasses here.
Yeah, man. And I love the can style glass is slowly becoming my favorite.
Yeah, really? Style, why is that? Know? Just because it's different?
I like how it's shaped like a can, but it's got the wide mouth, too.
It reminds me of drinking while I'm drinking. So last week I said if I made it to Big Hugs, we were gonna have Big Hugs this year and last year.
Yeah.
I have a story about that.
Okay.
But I didn't get any Big Hugs.
You didn't get any Big Hugs?
So we have no Big Hugs.
I mean, that's weird to me because the beer we're drinking from the new Loose Keys glass is Half Acre. They're top of the line beer.
Right. That's why, but I figured, you know, I said we're going to have that.
Yeah.
If, so let's have this as like the second class citizen to okay. Big Hugs.
Fair enough. And this is really the beer that put Half Acre on the map, man. 5.2% West Coast Pale Ale. Yeah. Right.
It's a good beer.
This is a fantastic beer. I had a beer in Gold Cancer this weekend called Navajo.
Yeah.
Navaja.
Okay.
Navaja double IPA. And it was killer. It wasn't like the citrusy kind of hops that we're used to having. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember drinking this beer and swearing that it changed up and down.
No.
And they said it didn't.
Really?
I think my palate changed.
But I was going to say, this one is a lot more subdued. There isn't that really big, explosive, bitter hop finish that I'm used to having on Daisy Cutter. That's not there.
On this particular one? Yeah, I guess so. But it's hard to say, right? You drink a lot of beer, and then you start to feel like that's not the same beer as it used to be, but you're so used to the style, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
It could be us. I mean, when was the last time we just had a Daisy Cutter out of a can?
I don't know.
You know?
This is my first time in a long time. I could check my Untappd check-ins, and it's probably been, I'd say, at least a year, maybe.
Nowadays, it's like the only way to keep up with it. You know, it's to check what you did on Untappd. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, new cans updating both locations that they have in Chicago now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, becoming a serious threat volume-wise in Chicago.
I know, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So we're going to sip on these cans. We got a couple more. We got the Tallboy 4-pack. So, yeah, we got plenty of beer. They don't all fit. It doesn't all fit in these glasses. That's
no?
It comes close, but, you know.
Yeah. And they get a lot of credit for, I think, you know, kind of popularizing the Tallboy 4-pack.
In Chicago, yeah.
You know, backdrop for
their
beers.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Then later you saw, you know, Finch do it, and, you know, there's a couple other breweries that do it now.
Uh-huh. Well, cool. All right, we're going to sip on these and then talk about this week. I guess I got to start with my Half Acre story, right?
Yeah, so you were on your way to Big Hugs.
So I was gonna go. Okay. I was going to show up late because I'm like, I don't need to go there, wait in line. I didn't really need the variants.
Yeah.
If I could get them, cool, but I just wanted some Big Hugs.
Yeah.
So I got up there, I think a little after 12, and I drove up there because it was snowing and it was pretty cold.
It was a pretty bad weekend.
What, Sunday?
Yeah.
So I got up there, and as I'm pulling up, like, traffic is stopped because people are loading cases into their car of Big Hugs and whatever else they maybe bought.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this isn't a good sign. So as I get the corner, what's that, the bar right there?
Oh, the Wild Goose.
Yeah. The line is wrapped still way around and down the block. And this was at noon.
On like a Sunday morning, afternoon.
So I couldn't remember if it opened at 11 or 10. I forget what we said or if we even said it, but I was just like, it's snowing, it's cold, I don't need to wait in line for this. I think I finally, that might have been my end of waiting in line for beer.
We're like, starting to,
that was it.
We're witnessing we're witnessing a serious change here, man. And you know, in who you've become. I don't know who you are anymore, man.
I know, it's sad. I mean, think it's a fantastic beer, and anyone who was able to get it, I'm sure they're enjoying it, or, you know, probably those people that bought multiple cases, it's sitting in their closet and will go bad.
I don't know, man. 2 years ago, Brad Chmielewski would have powered through.
I know, but it was cold and snowy.
And got that beer, man.
And I didn't have anyone to stand in line with.
We tease all the time, though, like, you know, being in love with, you know, with this beer movement, this beer renaissance. One of the things that goes away probably the fastest is your ability to deal with lines when it's time to get beer, right?
Right. Which is awesome. Like, I remember getting into craft beer and being like, I don't think it's going to get above 10% market share. Like, no way.
Yeah.
And now, like, it's amazing. Like, the people that come out for the festivals and these bottle releases, it's awesome.
Yeah, the Smithsonian is kicked off like some kind of beer museum like in over in D.C.
Yeah.
You know, 5,000 breweries like we talked about last week. It's out of control.
But I think we need to like get rid of this winter beer release thing.
No,
like,
it's like, a cold.
No, we can have it in the summer.
No.
Yeah.
You're missing the point,
let's
man.
Let's do it in the summer.
You're missing the point. It's a stout, first of all, big stout, right? And then no, man. You have it in the winter. I see Big Hugs is this winter. What else? Rev had their D-Star release. Winter beer releases, man.
I'm going to have to, like, if I do it again, I'm going to have to bring a book because I can't use my phone because I have my gloves on. Like, what?
I don't know what the hell. I don't know what the hell's going on here. I don't know what you've done with Brad.
I need to figure out, like, a better game plan for, like, waiting in the cold for beer.
Man, I tell you, the last time I waited, I was, you know, I went one time though. I walked, you know, I got the call from Benny's in Highland Park. And this was back when they hold beer for you.
Okay.
Went to Highland Park and on a Tuesday. They're like, man, you should come get it now. It was KBS.
Oh, yeah.
You should come get it now. I didn't have a car. I had to walk 2 miles in the snow.
Uphill
from the Highland Park Metro Station. I called off work that day. Highland Park Metro Station, Highland Park Benny's, man. Okay. You got to do it,
that's,
man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. This was like 4 years ago, but still, you have to do it. You have to do it.
Oh, yeah. So as a result of my, I guess, wussiness of like wanting to wait in the cold, I have no Big Hugs this
year. All right.
So I need to make friends with people that have Big Hugs so I can try it.
If people are rolling out with cases, I know they had it on draft as well. You could try all the variants. They were like sampling it out in the line. I heard and saw that. Does it make it to production? Like, does it make it to like retail stores?
I don't think so. No.
No.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I should have went later. I probably should have waited like until after lunch. Like, did lunch and then went up there around like 2 or 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think it was just too early, and it's like it's a good. What, 4 or 5 miles from my house? So I was like, I don't want to drive back up here in a few hours.
I want to say that Big Hugs, I could be wrong, but I want to say Big Hugs is like the original Dark Matter release for stouts, right? Like,
yeah.
Dark Lord was Intelligentsia for years until like maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think Big Hugs was on that on that track first.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Need to become friends with people to have it. I have other bottles. We can open them together.
That's
if
true.
If anyone wants.
I'd be willing to dip into the limited stash and whip out something. I guess
I will
Big
drink
Hugs.
Anything in there. Like, I don't. We can open whatever.
Yeah. Just bring,
anyone
just
wants.
Bring
like
some
just,
Big Hugs.
Doesn't matter to me.
I hear you, man. It's a tradition, man. We drink Dark Lord every year. We drink BCS every year. We drink Big Hugs every year, man. This is what we do, man. This is us.
I know.
All right, I'm gonna stop.
All right. So that was the only thing I think I tried to make it do. That was on Sunday, so even before that, you know, it didn't like ruin my beer game for the weekend. So it was just like the end. I was like, all right, that's fine. This is a sign to stay inside. It's cold.
I hear you. Yeah. I ran into Calvin from the Spiteful Crew at Whole Foods, and he was talking about his release this weekend for that for the barrel-aged beer release up at the Green Lady. And he was saying, yeah, man, people go nuts for winter events because, you know, the girlfriend doesn't want to go out. You're in the house pretty much all week, every day when you get off work. This is that one time to just let loose, you know. So
just stand in line in the cold.
Just stand in line in the cold and then drink all the stouts when you finally get inside, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So that was his take on it. Yeah, so.
All right. Well, did you make it to anything? Did you stand in line anywhere?
I didn't make it to any beer events this week. While I'm talking all this shit about what you didn't do. No.
I tried.
No, I did go to a whiskey event.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to a whiskey event downtown. This was at London House, which is like Streeterville area. And this was the Jack Daniel's holiday party.
Okay. Like their company holiday party? Like you crashed their holiday?
No, I crashed their
Chicago reps and distributors.
Jack Daniel's employees were there. I'm like, hey, man, why don't you just look the other way? I'm about to slide in here, man.
You know who I am?
It's easy. Take care of business, man. We got a show. We got a show in 6 days. We got to be in here. No, it was a party introducing their Tennessee cider.
Okay.
Right, which is like this 15% like, you know, cider whiskey hybrid. It's basically a whiskey cider.
Okay. So right. Kind of like a Mike's Hard Lemonade or a Twisted Tea.
Kind of like a Twisted Tea or a Mike's Hard Lemonade if Mike's wasn't carbonated, right? Okay. Cuz that's a carbonated thing, I think.
Didn't
but
they
yeah.
have like in like small bottles for a while. I remember my mom having these. Like, they're like pink and purple, almost wine cooler Jack Daniel's things.
You're right.
Right?
It was called the Lynchburg Tennessee Lynchburg Teas or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were like smaller though.
Yeah. They were like it's weird because it was the same shape as the Jack bottle, which kind of has a unique, you know, neck on it.
So these is this like that?
This is. Is this the same thing? No. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like that. Yeah. So Jack was, their reps were in the house. Jack's 150 years old. I didn't know that. According to them, they are the nation's oldest registered distillery.
Okay.
Yeah. So they last time I saw those guys, they had something called the Taste of Tennessee. It was like this Jack Daniel's experience at that 3-day music and food and beer fest out at Toyota Park, Chicago Open Air.
That's right.
That's the last time I saw these guys. And then they had this thing to celebrate the winter, that sort of thing. It's weird because it's a whiskey tasting, right? But they have four total, but only two of them are true whiskeys. There's the Gentleman's Jack, and then there's the Jack Daniel's that everyone knows, right?
Okay.
It's really one of the first things you order. A lot of people, not...
What, just straight up Jack?
Like Jack and Coke, right?
Probably, yeah.
It's kind of right up there with like, you know, I don't know, Bacardi and Coke.
I guess.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you know, if you ask people to name cocktails.
If you don't know, you're like... I need a mix. Like, I gotta look like I know. Like, I just turned 21. I'm going to the bar. I don't like beer. Give me a Jack and Coke.
Right.
Rum and Coke.
Right, exactly. Right. So.
SoCo and Lime.
SoCo and Lime. That'd be another one, man. SoCo had a time. There was a time and place for SoCo in my life. I'll tell you, man. I miss those days, man.
No, I do not miss those days.
Hey, man, so this, so the coolest part about the Jack Daniel's holiday party is that they had this virtual experience, right? They give you the 3D goggles, okay. And then it takes you to Tennessee. You know, they walk you through the whole process,
cool. And
you're actually on the grounds. And it's cool because with the VR goggles, you turn either direction, left or right, and it was like a 360 view
right. Of
what you were seeing. I really dug that.
Nice, okay.
Yeah. Their impressions, I don't know, because we've been to tastings before for like Buffalo Trace and Four Roses, but they're... What am I trying to say? Their impressions were kind of like, well, there's just Jack, and then there's Gentleman's Jack.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And that was kind of it, you know? And I guess Tennessee whiskey is different from whiskey because they run it through this charcoal filter, right? They basically burn a lot of wood from one type of tree. They drag it through there, and it's supposed to mellow it out. And the only difference between Jack and Gentleman's Jack is that it's double mellowed.
Okay. It
takes out all the oak, apparently, right?
Okay.
So, yeah. So there was that. I mean, their whiskey's fine, you know?
Right.
I think they're in it for the experience more than anything, right?
Right. It's kind of... Jack Daniel's is similar to what Budweiser is to the beer world.
Right? Kind of like the Olive Garden or something, right? If for Italian restaurants, right?
It's there.
It's that, right?
You know what it's going to taste like. You've had it before.
Yeah. And it probably hasn't changed.
It has not changed.
Right. So, you know, I would ask them, you know, they would say, hey, because if you listen to the Four Roses guys, they talk about their corn, right? They talk about, hey, you know, corn is 51% of the product. You know, we really go through these lens to, you know, have our corn be of a certain standard, right? And then they have this thing where they play on yeast, different yeast strains, right, to pick out different notes, right? They have like a whole library named by letters, that kind of thing. If you talk to the Dickel guys will tell you, oh, well, the Jack guys, you know, they put caramel coloring in their whiskey, right?
Oh, okay.
And then you talk to these guys, and they're like, oh, well, in comparison to what these other distillers are saying, the Jack guys are kind of, in response to that, are saying, well, you know, when we drag our charcoal, we drag our whiskey through the charcoal, we change the charcoal out twice a year. And that's like their only competitive advantage in comparison to, like, you know, what other people are saying and doing, which is kind of funny. But, okay. You know.
Right. It's kind of, yeah, the beer world. We're like, well, those guys are using adjuncts and corn. And they're And then the beer, then that beer says, like, yeah, we are, but it's, you know, same product, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So very careful lines that they try to go. But how was, what do you think of the, what, Gentleman's Jack? Like, would that be something you would get to sip on? But Jack isn't usually like a sipping whiskey.
Yeah, I don't think Jack's a sipping whiskey. I think the Gentleman's Jack is. I think it's a little bolder in flavor. Whatever they're doing with this double mellowing thing, it does kind of bring a lot of those traditional whiskey flavors to the front. And it just has a nice mellow finish, like a lot less of that, you know, the alcohol.
But most harshness. People, I feel like a lot of people, if you know even a little bit about whiskey, you may go like a Jim Beam or a Bushmills, like just move it maybe a little bit, especially because of price point too.
I think that, you know, I think Jack Daniel's has an iconic name. You know, we're all kind of familiar with it, and especially the logo. And then they have this ability to do really cool experiences at big venues. You know, if you saw them at Lollapalooza doing something like this, you know, at the Windy City Shootout, where they Windy City Smokeout, sorry, not the Shootout, when they had, like, you know, it was a barbecue and boot barbecue and beer fest. Jack Daniel's had an experience there where you could walk through the history of Jack Daniel's. Okay. They got the ability to do these things, but I think in comparison to other distilleries like, you know, Jim Beam, Buffalo Trace, who's killing the game, I think, like, they don't really have a lot of different types of whiskeys to pick from. You know, like, when you look at Buffalo Trace, for example, right? They got Buffalo Trace, Weller, you know, Pappy Van Winkle, you know, all on the same roster.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not even including, like, the Blanton stuff that they do. You know, the Eagle Rare that they do. Like, they just have this really good way of branding a lot of different types of whiskeys, even though they only got, like, three actual recipes. They got like 15 killer whiskeys. You know what I mean? It's crazy what they're doing. I mean, in comparison to something like that, or even comparison to other distilleries, I don't know if they've got a lot of different types of whiskeys that they can play with.
Okay.
And they should be doing that.
They should be, but they're making a lot of money.
But they're probably killing it with just the one.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. It was good, though. It was good to, you know about the Tennessee whiskey part.
So how was this new cider whiskey thing?
It's something you could,
I feel like that's closer to the cider, and
it's a good opportunity to make cocktails. This is something you can put on the rocks. This is something you can serve warm. You know, something you can serve, you know, over tea.
Okay.
Or just serve. It's a good holiday thing to take to, like, a party. I would, you know, I'd probably gravitate towards that more than anything else I tried.
Did they show the bottle? Does it come in a, like, a big bottle, or are they, like, little like the ones we were talking about,
like the Lynchburg, Tennessee? No, it's the coolers. No, it's the same size bottle as Jack, right?
Okay.
It's just you know, just holiday dip. So it's like a, you know, it's a white, it's a glass bottle with a white wrapping.
I could see
it
heating it up, throwing in maybe some spices and a cinnamon stick in there.
Yeah,
probably be pretty good.
Yeah. So
cool.
Yeah, but it was a good time. I had a good time at hanging out with Jack Daniel's.
Nice. All right.
I didn't think we were going to talk about Jack Daniel's for that long, man.
Yeah, it's not Jack Beer Pass. I don't know. So that does it for the events we made it to this week, but we have a few coming up. We're only like 12 days from Christmas from recording this. So
oh, wow.
It's kind of, I guess, a little scary and nuts. So,
right.
We got a few events that are happening this coming week that you should be checking out, right?
Yeah, for sure. So we'll start this Thursday. Goose Island's having a Pilsen migration week. So we've conquered all 50 states. Now we have to go neighborhood by neighborhood in Chicago to remind you who we are.
Yeah.
You know? So this is at the National Museum of Mexican Art. So they're going to have just three beers on tap. They got a beer called Hombre Secreto. It's basically a tequila barrel-aged saison.
Okay.
They've got a mango version, and they got a tropical version.
I feel like I've heard mixed things about this beer.
I haven't had it yet. I'm curious.
I haven't had it, but I feel like the buzz hasn't been there. But
and then if that doesn't tickle your fancy, they'll have Prop 2016 there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a good chance to get out to that museum. That museum is really nice. I went to a Five Rabbit event out there.
Oh, nice. Okay.
In fact, Five Rabbit's launch party, their original launch party during Chicago Craft Beer Week, like 2010. was at that venue.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
it's okay. A cool venue.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's on Thursday the 16th.
Nice. Anything else on Thursday?
Yeah, Dos Fedonia, the FOBAB Best in Show winner last year and run-up winner this year from Distill. It's going to be pouring at the Map Room.
Oh, nice. Okay.
On Thursday. Yeah.
Good excuse to get to the Map Room. I went by there the other day. I was like, I haven't been here in a while.
It's a great bar. Proper bar, too. It opens early.
Well, because I worked out there for a little while.
Oh, yeah?
You go there, use the Wi-Fi. You get a bottomless cup of coffee for $3.
Yeah.
Spend all morning there. You leave, go get lunch. Then you come back and grab a beer and work some more.
There you go, man. That's on the short list, I think, of like quintessential Chicago bars.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's Thursday. Then Friday, Bold Dog. They were on episode, way back when.
Yeah, over a year ago.
Yeah.
They're brewing up out of Lake Effect Brewing right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're having their official launch event on Friday at Bitter Pops at 6 p.m. It's from 6 to 9. Mm-hmm. They're going to have two beers on. So should be a good chance to finally get some of their stuff. Yeah. Met those guys first time at Bowling with the Brewers.
Yeah.
Even before they had a brewery, so it was pretty cool. Like, it's really neat to see them finally, like, have their stuff coming out.
Right. Yeah, super cool husband and wife duo that have made an appearance on the show before.
With their dog. It's on all their bottles.
They are all about their dog, too.
Yeah. Was it Beefy?
Beefy. They're all about their dog, yeah.
Yeah. So check that out at Bitter Pops, I believe. Yeah. 6 to 9.
Very cool. So that's 6 to 9. So on Friday, we'll move to Friday.
Yeah, that was Friday, too.
All right, cool. Friday. Also on Friday is the 16th. That's the 5th annual Brixie's Barrel Age Blowout, man.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so they have a Barrel Age Festival there. The usual suspects, Goose, Firestone, Revolution. Now, the way they're wording this, I could be reading this wrong, but it says they have three Goose Island BCS variants, one infused with vanilla, one infused with cocoa, the other one with vanilla and cinnamon. So are they, is like Goose synonym this?
Are they not? Like the variants?
Weren't the variants. There was no vanilla this year.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting, right?
Right. So how'd you get Goose Island? How'd you get 2016 Goose Island Bourbon County Vanilla, man? That's not a thing. That's not a thing, man. What's going on here, man?
Did they get a keg and they're like, we're going to put these in casks ourselves? Maybe they got their own thing.
They got a bunch of French press, you know, they're just doing it at the bar. I don't know. I'm curious, though. I want to know what the hell's going on. Brixie's opened in 1934. One of the oldest bars in the entire state is Brixie's.
I've still never been.
No.
Brookfield.
To Brookfield. And just around the bend there, they got they have a brewery now, Imperial Oak.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's Brixie's own brewery?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Same crew. Yeah. Nice. Kind of like a Maria's and Mars kind of thing. Cool. Yeah. So that's on Friday.
Nice. Two good events on Friday. Check those out.
Right on. Yeah, and it's light this week on events, man. That's actually all I have for events, man.
Okay, because then it's Christmas week.
Jeez, is that right?
Yeah, so I feel like next week's episode and even the week after, I don't know, we're gonna have to come up with something special because there's no real days off. There are like Mondays, but events keep going, podcasts keep recording.
Yeah,
so and we're gonna
holidays are weird this year because they're both on the weekend, right?
Yeah.
Like Christmas Eve and Christmas is Friday, Saturday.
And so it's New Year's and New Year's Eve. So we're going to have to come up with something good next week. Maybe some holiday beers or something.
Something. We got to figure this out.
Yeah. So that does it for the events. But then we always close out with some beer news. A lot of stuff happening here in Chicago lately.
Yeah, for sure.
A little bit of drama, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
A little bit of drama, man. We'll work our way into that, man. Let's start with out of state first. This is Schmaltz Brewing up in New York. It's an upstate New York brewery. Have you heard of Schmaltz?
I've heard of it because I think it's a funny name.
Yeah. So it is a funny name, man. And then they're 20 years old this Hanukkah, right? Okay. So they are the only Jewish celebration beer company, is how they like to describe themselves, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So they're coming out with four new beers, so they're having parties all across Chicago to celebrate their 20th anniversary and launch these new beers.
Okay.
Right? So, for 17 years, they were a contract brewery. I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
I've always heard of them. I know they're on Glenn's. I've had their stuff at Glenn's events. I don't think I've had it other than that. Yeah, one of these new beers is called a Shtick in a Box, which is kind of funny.
Okay, so like Dick in a Box?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of funny. Oh, yeah, these events, man. So three events around town starting next week. Yeah.
Because Hanukkah is next week, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, or yeah. Might already start it. This is my ignorance of it.
It's going to kick off Friday the 15th at Quenchers. Yeah, so Quenchers, Joe's Wine Cellar, and Archie's. So all during Hanukkah.
So. Oh, nice. So check those out, Schmaltz.
Yeah, Schmaltz Brewing Company. Pipeworks is opening their bottle shop just in time for New Year's Eve. They open on the 29th.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
So the original plan was to have it at their old facility, but they're just going to do what Off Color did and just have like a small bottle shop at the big production facility.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Even though now Off Color's like, we're out of here.
Yeah, now Off Color's got another spot, right? I like that, man. I wonder who's going to be next with the two. I like the two brewery concept, you know. One brewer, two locations. I kind of like that.
I think Salamoth is next. I think they need a Chicago spot.
They do. I know. Floyd's was talking about that for a while. When you go to Lone Wolf, it's basically a Floyd's bar.
Right.
And they got like four Floyd dedicated Floyd's tabs.
So I think Salamoth opens up a place in 2017.
That would be good. They got solid beer.
I would put my money on it.
Oh, here we go. I like that. I put my money on it. All right. Let's see. Toppling Goliath out of Iowa. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
They are partnering with the Field Museum for a beer. So they
Pseudo Sue.
Yeah. So Pseudo Sue is their popular beer that kind of pays homage to T-Rex, and as you know, the museum has a huge T-Rex exhibit all year round out there. So they're getting together for that, but then they're also going to brew a beer exclusively for the museum, kind of like what Off Color did with Tooth and Claw.
Right. Right. Okay.
Yeah, so to celebrate this, they announced that they're going to have a launch party. This is in January 25th. It'll be $4 to get in. It'll be like a meet and greet. Meet the guys from Iowa. Meet the guys from the museum. Also, they're going to have like a behind-the-scenes collection of drinking vessels from the museum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so historic drinking vessels from like Mesopotamia, Egypt, Kenya, this sort of thing, the Greco-Roman regions. You know, you get to hang out at the museum. That's pretty cool. They're becoming a destination for beer.
Yeah.
Which I like. And with cool breweries. I mean, Off Color, Toppling Goliath.
Yeah.
You know,
Toppling Goliath makes some really fantastic beer.
Really?
I've had their beer. I think my uncle's had a few of them. I think Ken's picked them up. It's kind of like when I have them, I'm like, oh, these are great. And you can't get them, really.
Yeah, this will be the only place in Illinois. The only time I've had their beer was at Great Taste of the Midwest, like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So check that out at the Field Museum. Yeah.
Yeah. And finally in news, Finch's Brew Pub is closing, man.
So this is a... I hate to laugh here, but... So this is a Breakside.
Breakside's
in Portland.
Yes.
Break Room was the brewery here.
Correct. They built that space out, got tanks, and they made it a proper brewery. It was not a metal shop, a woodworking shop for Break Room. That's where Break Room grew out of. It started as a woodwork shop. They made Haymarket's Bar. They made Revolution's Bar.
Okay.
Yeah. So it started as a shop that became a brewery.
And beautiful space.
Killer space.
So then, about 6 months ago, Finch's bought them out.
Mm-hmm.
Break Room had some issues.
Yeah, with ownership.
So
Break Room went under. They said, hey, we're out. We're going to sell our space to Finch. So apparently they were leasing this space on the northwest side to Finch.
And there was a mild branding change. They were Finch's, and then they were Finch.
Yeah, so the space was called the Finch Kitchen Brew Pub was the name of the space.
And they kept their old brewery on Elston, right?
Right, where all the bottles and cans are coming from.
Yeah.
So they would store the cans in a big warehouse, but then they would brew at this space in Elston. It was just a brewery, no tap room or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the setup. Now...
This is a five-year-old brewery in Chicago, yes.
Which not very many people knew about that they were in Chicago.
Correct. a big part of their issue was... Well, a big part of the issue was they didn't
embrace the beer culture, right?
Yeah. So
or beer scene.
Ben was a marketing guy.
Ben Finch, and this
kind of came off to be like one of his pet projects, you know. Mm-hmm. And he would make these beers, and you know, it just never really caught on for whatever reason.
Yeah, it was I would say about 6 months after they like kind of kicked off, Ben Finch did an interview that said, I don't I guess I don't care about the beer scene. I'm only in it for the packaged goods.
Yeah, because Threadless was his t-shirt company, right? And I'm pretty sure they did like some
He was involved in it, yeah.
Yeah, and that was one of their ventures. And yeah, he just came off to be...
He wanted to do a packaged goods and didn't care about beer. And beer people were like... F you.
Yeah, I mean, because even though this is a big city, you know, the beer producers and sellers, this is kind of a small community. Like, as far as everyone in Chicago knows each other, uh-huh. right, from that standpoint. And yeah, and Ben was kind of, he was an outsider, for lack of a better term.
Right.
Yeah, so they took the route where, you know, their beers, this is a very competitive town, their beers weren't necessarily selling. So what they did was they focused on, you know, distribution nationwide. They were in 26 states, right? They were in places like Tennessee before Goose Island was.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. They made that their focus.
And a lot of people would pick them up because they'd be like, oh, a Chicago brewery. I never heard of this. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
And their beers were, they were okay. They weren't anything like extra special or anything.
Yeah.
They had some brewers that have moved on now. Like we have a Good Day Charlie.
Yeah, yeah. Good Time Charlie was a brewer over there. He split, went to Vice District, and now he does Right Beat Cider, which is a cider company with his wife.
Uh-huh.
Richard Grant was there. That's where he started.
Rebecca Grant.
Now he's Rebecca Grant. Yeah. Right. He left there, went to Ale Syndicate.
Yes.
And now he's at Off Color.
Yeah.
Now she's at Off Color.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, there's always been, it always seems to be a constant state of transition over at Finch.
It's
right.
Yeah, it seemed like they seemed in the last 6 months to finally have it kind of reined in a little bit, right? It seemed like a good direction.
Yeah, I mean, we would take the brew bus at night to the northwest side, right? So
okay.
We would go to Lake Effect, we would end at Finch. And, you know, their beers were starting to improve. I thought Secret Stash was always a killer beer from them. But the other beers went up and down. You know, you love some of them. The other ones you thought were just okay.
Yeah.
I think they were really starting to revamp and dial in what they were working on over there. Yeah.
So now the brew pub is closing and the production brewery is closing.
This is weird. So, yeah, here's the thing. So, yeah, both of those things are true. And then they apparently have pissed off the chef that was working in the kitchen. And he was this guy, Matthias Merges, right? So he's responsible. We were talking about the husband and wife duo. So the chef is the husband, but then the wife comes in and designs these places. So
okay.
She's a designer. She designed Old Irving. She designed Yusho. She designed Finch's Brewery.
Okay.
Right? So according to the chef, you know, this is a toxic work environment, is what he was quoted as saying. Like, what the hell's going on at Finch, man?
Oh, my gosh. So... Okay, but now they're going to contract brew at an unnamed brewery right now.
A brewery in Chicago that has a tap room that has gone unnamed by the staff and as part of this announcement.
There's only like a couple that it could be, right? It's either
Bader
Brow,
right.
Five Rabbit.
Or this new contract brewery in the city in West Loop.
Yeah.
Grand Central, I believe it's called, where that's all they do is contract brew.
That's all it could be that could have the space or scale to even do what they wanted to do. But they may rebrand.
Yeah.
I think we're about to see like a new name pop up. Because we're going to be like, who is this? And then it's going to quickly get around that it's Finch.
Yeah. It's weird because they Finch spent time, you know, acquiring the Hop Thesis brand, which is another brand that didn't really take off. And
yeah.
Like instead of like really dialing in the Chicago market, what they did was they said, hey, we're going to use the Chicago name, right? And then we're just going to go to these other cities, like you said. And that's a weird dynamic. To be honest, it saved their company. Because if you just stuck in Chicago and you had all those cans stacked in that warehouse and nobody sold
cans,
them,
yeah.
You know, you're going to be fucked. So what they did was, you know, they went to 26 states and it saved their company. But dialing in those beers should have been mission number one. I saw this in one of the chat groups, right? They said, man, if you're at a party and you can open a cooler and it's got, these are all Chicago breweries, you open, and it's got Haymarket, you know, Half Acre Rev.
Doesn't have Haymarket?
I mean, you know, Haymarket says Haymarket to be in Kansas.
That cooler does not have Haymarket. I know it. They don't have any beer in packaging.
Which beer are you going to pick first from, you know, from the Half Acre Rev, you know, Floyd's, you know, if you got those in a cooler?
You're not going to pick the Finch.
That's at the end of the day, right? That's the issue.
You may pick the Goose Island beer over the Finch beer.
Yeah. You know? So, I mean, and that's the problem, man. You know? So.
I don't.
My man, Little Stevie Hamburg, I love him, man. He's like, we were talking about a brewery out south. He was like, man, some breweries were just born to die, Nick. It's as simple as that. He wasn't referring to this brewery, but it's, you know.
But I'm disappointed that space is going, like, somebody needs to put in something, a brewery there, right?
Yeah.
It's a good space. It has all the brewing equipment. Someone's going to come in. Selling those?
Yeah. You know, because I know there were other breweries bidding for that space. When Break Room said we're out, there were a handful of breweries bidding for that space.
So someone's going to come in there because that's Old Irving. It's a neighborhood that needs a brewery.
Yes.
Needs a space. Needs something there.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was an honest attempt to get things right there.
Yeah.
But apparently they all hate each other, can't work together. And, you know, and then they're in Chicago, which is way too competitive for all this, you know, lack of direction bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, people need to know who you are and know what you're making, right? And they got to know that they can get it whenever they want. That's what's going on in Chicago, mm-hmm. you know. So, oh, but yeah, one last note on that story.
On that story.
Okay. Their auction and all their equipment is set for the end of January, and their sales are down 64% from last year.
So are they selling the brew pub?
They're selling the equipment.
Someone needs to just buy all the brew pub stuff.
Like turnkey style?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then all the production brewery stuff, like that's kind of a big deal, right? Someone's going to pick that up.
Dude, that's like studio equipment, right? If you're a musician, like somebody's going to buy it.
Yeah. Brewer, when you're opening a brewery, they were talking, what, 3-4 years ago, like you have to buy new equipment. Like you used to be able to buy used equipment because people would like... You would see someone like Lagunitas, like, oh, we need to upgrade. We're going to get a bigger tank.
Right. Oh,
sell this tank to the down the line. That didn't happen anymore. So this happening, this stuff is going to be huge market for people.
Yeah. So who knows what's next for Finch? They say they're going to make a statement next week on what their next plans are. This is the same crew that also said we're going to build a brewery on the riverfront, too. Yeah. We've had their beers on the show before.
Right. Yeah. Well, all right. We should get out of here before we get drunk and say inappropriate things about Finches, right? Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. All the episodes are posted on ChicagoBeerPass.com. Video, audio. And then while recording, we've been doing these Periscope live streams of the episodes. So thanks, everyone, for hanging out here. We got a VG Minor hanging out now. I forget what he said he was drinking, but we're drinking the Daisy Cutter.
VG.
And so, yeah, thanks for hanging out. So if you want to watch the show live, we do that, what, every Tuesday is usually when we record, unless we switch it up. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise... To go on the website the next day, you can listen or watch.
Right on.
So we'll be back next week with another episode and another beer. Cheers.
Cheers.